Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Whatever, Dave.
Okay, say yeah, Dave.
Whatever.
Whatever, Dave.
It's the Whatever, Dave Radio Network, wherever fine podcasts are ignored.
Yo, it helps if I turn on my mic.
Whatever, Dave. Well, we're kind of back. We're short one Rich.
Two-thirds back.
We're short one Richmeister. And I have to say, last I saw Rich, I was coming into work. Usually we get in about the same time, but I see him in the I see him in the parking structure, and he's slightly on edge with a bloody eye. And
what?
Yeah. And I got to say, I've been fielding worried phone calls and text messages and media inquiries. And so I thought I would put everybody's mind at ease. And what do you say we get Rich up on the horn, Dave?
Yeah, bring him up.
Richard, hello.
Wow.
What happened, Richard?
Been feeling all those calls and texts. I'm touched. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I used it to our advantage. I said, if you want to know how Rich is doing, make sure you listen to Whatever Dave tonight.
That's good. There's never a wasted opportunity for some solid promotion.
Well, and I got to say, Rich, I have to be honest. You told me what happened and what was ailing you. However, you know, it was a slightly jarring scene, seeing your friend with a slightly disfigured, swollen eye. And I was kind of talking to you and trying to assess whether you could drive yourself to medical attention under your own power. So I just kind of made something up about you waking up in a pool of your own blood. But why don't you clear things up?
Well, first of all, you did everything right, and I fully endorse that story that you've been sticking with.
Yeah.
But I wish it were all that masculine and such, but unfortunately it was not. I was up late last night with a bit of a cough.
Right.
And the cough had gotten to the point where I was wheezing for breath, and so I was in a hurry to perhaps get to the bathroom because I thought I was going to throw up. Or I don't know where I was going, but I creamed right into a piece of furniture and went eye first, so to speak.
Right.
And so when you saw me this morning, I thought I thought I could still work today. So I got in the car and I got some lunch and I drove to work. And then I looked in the mirror. And the rear-view mirror, that is, before I exited the vehicle, and I saw that there was a great deal of blood. Now, when I say blood, it's not seeping
I also like how you preface the story with, oh, it wasn't that bad, and then you proceed.
It doesn't sound that bad to me.
It does sound bad. Well, you know, I was having a hard time breathing, and I thought I had to throw up, so I bash my face in some furniture.
I'd like to clarify, what type of furniture did you run into, and was it, I mean, were you bent over? Did you fall into it? Did you trip? Like, how did this happen?
The furniture jumped up and punched him in the face, Dave.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, was it, like, what type, like, please, can you be a little bit more specific? I must know what type of furniture you rammed into.
Sure. My mother has some cabinetry in her living room.
Got it.
And it's where you hold your tchotchkes, to use a phrase that I first learned from Dave.
Yes.
And it's a cabinet here. And I was doubled over because I was coughing.
Right.
And so as I was doubled over, I was trying to move quickly to get to the other room. And that's where I lunged into that. I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. I think my eyes may have even been closed.
Right.
And I lunged into the cabinetry, and then the next thing I recall, being on the floor, looking upward in an immense amount of pain.
Wow!
Thinking how stupid
Man.
I was.
Wow.
Okay.
Well. Okay.
And
so.
Then,
but please continue your story after you looked at yourself in the mirror, and then came in and told Michael the story.
Yeah. Well, what I was seeing was a blood blister. I mean, it wasn't
Phew.
Like. Yeah, it wasn't liquid blood. It was blood, you know, within I don't know what the technical term is for it. She called it a hemidupla or something like
that.
Oh,
it was a hematoma.
Yeah, it was a hematoma.
Yeah.
Well, I do.
That's perfect. Very good, Dave.
I do have to say it is quite jarring when you injure yourself and you look in the mirror and see yourself slightly disfigured. Richard, you'll remember this. I had a non-dairy cheesecake, which I didn't know was made with cashews. And so yeah. I ate the, which I, you know, I'm allergic to nuts, Dave. And I ate the entire thing of cheesecake. And then like a couple hours later, my face was starting to swell up and contort. The only thing I could really compare it to are those scenes in the werewolf movies where they're transforming.
Yeah.
That's very disconcerting. But it sounds like you're okay.
Yes, I'm fine. They told me that it wasn't. They just want me to watch out for a concussion.
Yeah.
It looks a lot worse than it is. And it didn't look that bad last night, which is why I dismissed it and thought, oh, I'll have a little bruise.
Right.
But it was the hematoma that freaked me out, because then I thought, oh, well, what if there's
bleeding
elsewhere?
Right. It looked like you got into a fight when I saw you this morning.
Right.
Did they drain the hematoma at the doctor?
That's personal,
no.
Dave.
I was told to put ice on it during the day, and it would go down by itself, and it should be gone within a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, that's good, Richard.
Right.
I wasn't super worried because you did convince me that you were with it enough to drive yourself to medical attention under your own power, but glad there's no any more ill effects than just a boo-boo. So we'll let you go and get your rest because it sounds like you didn't get much sleep last night. And we'll see you soon.
Okay. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate phoning in.
Yeah.
I love being on the horn.
I was going to say, you might be the first person we've ever actually gotten on the horn.
Wow.
Poetic justice. Okay. See you tomorrow, Richard. But don't push yourself.
Okay. Thank you, fellas. Thank you for holding down fort.
God bless you.
I'm fine. Just say a little prayer for me.
Okay. I'm doing that right now.
Oh, that's nice.
Bye-bye, Richard.
Bye, folks. Thank you.
What a crazy story.
Yeah, right? That's not that crazy. Well, I was double over in pain,
then
I woke up unconscious, and my eyes were not working.
Man.
Anyway.
I mean, wow. You know, those damn cabinets that our parents have.
Man. Well, I guess let's start the show here, Dave. And I have to say, I'm already sick of the 2024 presidential election. And we haven't even made it through the 2022 midterm. We haven't made it through the primary for the 2022 midterm.
No, I mean, it's only going to get more exciting for you moving forward.
Well, and so News Nation, which is one of these like fledgling cable news channels that are trying to take a run at like CNN and MSNBC, used to be WGN on your cable package. They put out a poll to their viewers. And the poll found that a majority of Americans, according to their viewership, don't want either Joe Biden or Donald Trump to run in 2024. 60% of the voters said that Biden shouldn't run. 57% said that Trump shouldn't run. They were asked if President Biden chose not to run for re-election in 2024, who would you most prefer to see as the Democratic candidate? 44% of the vote went to some guy named someone else. On the Republican side, 38% of the vote went to a guy named someone else. So he looks like he's the bipartisan favorite. But I got to tell you, Dave, I kind of feel like it's inevitable, or at least highly likely, that we might be heading towards a Donald Trump, Joe Biden rematch.
I think I 100% agree with you. And I think it is going to be a election, if that is the case, that the speculation on whether or not this can go through without the aura of, voter fraud or the election was stolen or something else is just, I don't think that we'll ever be able to have an election again where people don't now think that there's no way to do it, where people think it's on the up and up.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, Dave, to me, the only thing worse than Joe Biden being elected to a second term as Donald Trump getting elected to his second term. But it seems like it's always the least popular candidates that seem to be the ones who win the nomination. Not so much in 2020. Obviously, Donald Trump was the incumbent, and Joe Biden, most people were ambivalent on him. They remember the Joe Biden from the Obama years, and he just kind of was odd man out, and he kind of like stumbled his way into
Don't you remember that like Biden was like down with the to get the nomination for the Democrats, and then he just kind of at the end,
right,
kind of just came out of nowhere and just started to pull away.
Well, he started off looking like he was going to cruise to it, and then he kept screwing it up. And then somehow everyone else started screwing it up, and it just kind of the week of the primaries.
Wasn't it going to be like Bernie Sanders for the longest time?
It was supposed to be Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, but going back to 2016,
you know, Elizabeth Warren mixed in.
Right. Everyone kind of had their chance being the front runner. And then they screw it up. Back in 2016, there was no incumbent. And I remember everyone saying, I don't care who's president as long as it's not Hillary or Donald Trump. And who are the two nominees? Hillary and Donald Trump.
Yep.
So I don't understand how everyone's least favorite candidates end up being the final nominees.
I don't know. If there's one thing that I truly do not understand, it is what politics have become in our country and how everything that should have nothing to do with politics have become political.
Right. And it almost seems like litigation now is the new campaign strategy. A lot of people suing, a lot of people investigating, you know, the protocols. And of course, and here in Michigan, it's worked to a point. You had five gubernatorial candidates on the Republican side disqualified because they couldn't get their crap together with the signatures. But I don't know, Dave, I think maybe it's because the quote unquote most hated candidates are the ones who elicit a most passionate response. You know, everyone who liked Trump hated Hillary to begin with. Everyone who liked Hillary hated Trump to begin with. So, but that means that the people who like these respective candidates were very passionate about them. And so maybe that's why these polarizing figures seem to keep getting nominated, even though everyone you talk to says they want to vote for anyone but those two.
I mean, do you remember the hanging chads back in the Gore Bush days?
Yeah, that was the last election before I could vote.
You know, that was like just, you know, you would never see anything like that before.
Yeah.
And now we've got the, you know, election voting nonsense. So I thought that we'd never see anything like the hanging chads again, which was crazy. And now we have this. So needless to say that this upcoming, the primaries, the midterms, the next election, and it doesn't matter. It can be on the state level or on the national level. Nobody trusts anybody anymore. It's all very interesting.
There are two buzzwords that I think I'm going to be sick to death of by the end of the 2024 election. Number one, kitchen table issues. Nobody eats dinner at a kitchen table anymore.
Valid point.
I eat my dinner over the sink. And if you have a family, you're probably watching it in front. So I don't know. Maybe you call them eating over the kitchen sink issues. Or TV trays in front of Netflix issues.
There you go.
Also, this whole political outsider business. It started with Obama. It really got ramped up with Donald Trump. And it's just a tired trope. It's like, am I going to show up at a hospital, say, make me head of surgery. I'm a medical outsider. I can't be bought. No, you don't want someone who doesn't know what they're doing.
You know, I mean, pulling interesting.
You got to know where the bodies are buried. And as we saw with the five candidates who couldn't get their signatures straight here in Michigan on the gubernatorial side of the Republican Party, being a political outsider is mostly a liability and very rarely an advantage.
Yeah, it's very it's going to be very interesting as we move forward. And like I said, You know, it's just every single topic that comes up, it becomes political. So,
yeah. All right, Dave, let's get into your stack of stuff here.
Well, the first story that we have today, you know, has to do with something you're very familiar with, which is TikTok.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
And there's a new product that's taking over TikTok, and that is the pink sauce. And I've never heard of this, but you have heard of this.
Well, I've heard of it. Number one, I haven't seen it on TikTok. So that just goes to show you how different everyone's algorithms are. I have not heard about it on TikTok. I've read about it like on like the front page of Yahoo saying new TikTok trend is pink sauce. So I've been told that it's on TikTok, but I haven't seen it on TikTok. What the heck is pink sauce, and why is it so controversial?
Apparently, the dipping sauce, this pink sauce, was crafted by the TikTok creator, and I hope I'm saying, is it Chef Pie? Is that the...
How's it spelled?
It's like, it's C-H-E-F and then P-I-I.
I know how Chef is spelled. So how do you spell pie?
P-I-I.
Pie P, yeah, P, okay.
Chef P, whatever.
We'll call him Chef P.
Chef P. So anyway, this is a condiment, and... this sauce that he started, or actually, they put it, it's a her actually.
Okay.
So she started pouring it over various foods in early June, like chicken, gyros, tacos, and more.
Okay.
And it looks like Pepto-Bismol.
So but like, why is it controversial? Is it supposedly dangerous?
Well,
are kids doing the pink sauce challenge?
According to the website, when these are some of the main ingredients for the condiment pink sauce.
Okay.
Water.
Okay.
Sunflower seed oil.
Okay.
Raw honey.
Okay.
Distilled vinegar.
All right.
Dragon fruit.
Don't know what that is.
Garlic.
Okay.
Pink Himalayan sea salt.
All right.
And less than 2% of dried spices, lemon juice, milk, and citric acid.
I mean, sounds good other than dragon fruit. So why is it? I mean, is it?
Apparently, it tastes like ranch dressing.
Okay.
And they just wanted it to have, it's like a, it says it isn't is it, a, isn't like a there, sweet ranch.
Yeah, isn't there like some kind of, there's a controversy around it though, isn't there?
She decided to make it pink, to have a naturally pink color. And plenty of people have had questions about it. And several users have pointed out the inconsistencies with the nutritional label for the sauce.
This sounds like a very lame controversy. I don't know why this is such big news. You brought it up. I said, let's talk about it because I've heard a lot about it. But I don't know why it's so controversial.
People are saying that, like, if it's got milk in it, how are you going to ship it in warm weather? And they're very concerned about this. Mm. So, I don't know why people are so hyped up about.
Okay, they're worried about food poisoning.
But I mean, maybe.
But it sounds like, I mean, if you have a good dragon fruit guy, you can make it yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, I would try it.
It seems to me like you could just, yeah, exactly. But
according to those ingredients, it didn't sound like there was milk in it.
It says that according to the TikTok creator, they've been using it and giving it to clients for about a year now, and no one's ever gotten sick. So
read me those ingredients one more time.
The ingredients are water,
okay.
Sunflower seed oil,
okay.
raw honey, distilled vinegar,
okay.
Dragon fruit, garlic. Pink Himalayan sea salt, and less than 2% of dried spices, lemon juice, milk, and citric acid.
Oh, milk. Okay. A little bit of milk. Yeah, well, I can't have it.
And according to some people are upset because the bottle, it says it contains 444 servings of pink sauce, and they are saying that there's not enough in there to get that many.
Right. Well, that's like everything. Like, you look at the nutritional label of Fritos, and it's like serving size 2 Fritos.
Yeah. So a TikTok video that was posted Thursday, she apologized for the issues related to the launch of the pink sauce, including discrepancies with the nutritional label.
All right.
So she said the grams were mixed up with the serving size, and there's actually 30 servings of pink sauce per bottle, while originally it was supposed to be 444 servings.
Okay. So people aren't getting as much for their money.
Correct. And they're selling it, you know, and then apparently she said the team is working to get the price of the pink sauce down because people have been paying $20 a bottle for this stuff.
Well, I must say, Dave, that's a very underwhelming controversy. I should have vetted that story before we went to it.
You know, you can make a big controversy on anything these days. We know that.
Next topic.
Next topic takes us out to our up north of Charlevoix, Michigan, which I'm sure you've been to a couple times.
Probably. I get my CH, my Sheboygan's, my Charlevoix's all mixed up. I'm sure I've been to one.
A restaurant called the East Park Tavern in Charlevoix that had this sign the other day. Due to the mistreatment of our servers, our kitchen is closed.
Good.
And they closed early.
Good.
Because their servers were being mistreated by the customers.
Good for them. You know, the customer is always right is complete crap. I mean, if someone is coming into your place of business and just being an entitled a-hole and making everyone's life miserable, you don't want their money anyway.
This happened during the annual Charlevoix Venetian Festival. It's estimated 100,000 people passed through the city during the 8-day celebration. So this was a big time, for this restaurant.
Right. Probably one of their big weekends of the year.
And,
right.
And the general manager, Laura Moore, said that her staff had been taking a beating all week. And it was hard to watch your friends fall apart around you, she said. So somebody had to step in and take care of them. And that's her job as a manager.
Good.
So she shut it down.
Good.
Just shut it down. And that was it. And this was because, you know, these short staff restaurants are just getting absolutely killed. Two things. I think that you have lack of workers so people are working longer hours.
Right.
And then the people who go to visit, and this is tourist season for Michigan, obviously in the summer, they're not getting the probably service that they're used to, and they're getting a little irritated and they're taking it out on the servers, which is probably wrong.
Well, by now why hasn't it gotten through people's skulls that, places are still short staffed. The people who are working there are probably new. Like you would think, and obviously this all started during the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
We're 2.5 years into this. By now, don't you think most people would have learned that, look, we need a little more patience. Your dining out experience is not the same as it was pre-pandemic. I don't know. I mean, unless someone's being outwardly rude to me, I usually can cut them some slack.
Right. She said that guests were facing long wait times and growing impatient and began seating themselves at dirty tables, pushing together furniture and becoming hostile. And she said she had to physically escort out a couple people.
Well, and that's scary, too, because, we've been hearing about how a lot of these things can escalate into violence or danger. So, good for that manager. And like I said, I mean, there's a couple schools of thought when it comes to successfully running a business. The customer is always right, which I said I think is BS. You should do your best to accommodate the customer. But there are some customers that can't be accommodated. And the other school of thought is that your success is dependent on your people. And it sounds like this woman is subscribing to the second part.
She posted about this on Facebook, and she's actually gotten mixed reviews on what she did from people. So,
well,
some people agree, some people disagree.
Those people disagree are probably a-holes who had to be escorted out of her restaurant. Well, good for her, Dave. Next topic.
So next topic kind of hits home with you since I heard you talking about this earlier.
Oh,
and that is Uber having to teach people how to open Tesla doors if they drive a Tesla.
Oh, yeah.
And please tell us your experience with your Uber from the other day.
Right. This past weekend, a couple of friends and I went to the hottest ticket in town, Dave, the Detroit City Football Club. For those of us in the English world, they're a soccer team in Hamtramck. And we got an Uber down there. And on the way back, we called an Uber to pick us up. And it was a lot busier down by that stadium than you thought. And our driver was across the street, and it would have taken him forever to make a left against stadium traffic. So my friends and I just ran out to the Uber. And, normally when you open when you run out to a car, the handle there is pretty self-explanatory. But this was a Tesla. So I was like I was like a caveman seeing fire for the first time. I was sitting there. I couldn't figure out how to open up the damn door. And the driver literally had to open up all three doors from inside. For future reference, instead of lifting a handle, you push in on the
right.
And then on the way out, he had to give us a tutorial on how to get out, which is different than getting in. On the way out, you have to put your thumb on something and then it opens. So right. Yeah, there's a bit of a learning curve for those of us who grew up with the internal combustion engine and traditional door handles getting into and out of an Uber.
Right. So Uber has figured this out too, and they have a tutorial with the following instructions. To open the door, push wide part of handle with thumb.
Right.
Then grab and pull handle to open.
Yeah.
So is that accurate?
I don't know, because to get in, the driver just opened it for us. I'm going to take your word for it. And by the way, Dave, that video you sent me of your five-year-old niece opening up the Tesla door when I couldn't was very helpful. I will keep that for future reference.
I thought that that would help you.
Thank you.
For future time.
You're always thinking of me.
Yeah. So for all you people who get an Uber or a Lyft with a Tesla, you now know how to open and to get in and how to open to get out. Thank you, Mike Parsons.
Here's my suggestion before we move on topics, Dave. If you know you're going out and you're going to be getting an Uber, before you even leave, look up a YouTube tutorial on how to open up an Uber door, because by the time you call the Uber, you might not have very good reception on your phone, or you might be too buzzed to operate any type of EV machinery. So if you know you're going out, maybe before you leave, just make sure that you're well-versed in opening and closing a Tesla, and you will not be subject to embarrassment like
that.
How
was the FC game? I hear that it's growing in popularity.
It's fun,
Detroit,
man.
Soccer.
Yeah, it's they got their own little soccer hooligan section called the Northern Guard, who does a bunch of cheers and lights off smoke bombs. It's an experience. Get down there if you can. It's a lot of fun. Even if you don't like soccer, it's still a fun experience.
Okay. Cool.
Next topic.
This story is crazy. It comes from
story.
This comes from Moscow. So a 7-year-old boy competing in a Russian chess tournament had his finger broken. Yes, you heard me right. Had his finger broken by his robot opponent, according to the Moscow Chess Federation.
Was this the Ivan Drago bot?
So a tournament official said the child was partially at fault in the July 19th incident and continued his
participation. Sounds like victim blaming to me, Dave.
In the event, his finger was put into a plaster cast. So apparently what had happened was the boy did not give the robot enough time to respond to his move. Then the robot grabbed him when he reached for one of the pieces.
Yeah.
And there are videos that have surfaced of the robot breaking the boy's finger.
And you are sick because you said, oh, maybe I should send you this video so that we can watch.
Oh, yeah.
We can watch it on the video stream.
Yeah.
Who wants to watch this, Dave? Watching anything and they show me a video of a child having his finger broken by a robot, I'm never watching that thing again.
What makes this story even more interesting is that
it sounds like Skynet.
Is that Sergey Smagin, whatever his last name is, Moscow Chess Federation's
vice
president.
You're doing great with names tonight.
Added in an interview with the RIA Nastovius that there are no plans to ban the robot.
Wow.
But safety precautions will be evaluated.
No mercy, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is crazy. So you've got
it's a cold society over
there.
Props to
the 7-year-old boy for getting his finger plastered up, and he continued.
See, that's the difference between America and
exactly
and those cold Soviets over there in Russia. They're like, some kid over here gets their finger broken by a robot. We have a whole bunch of regulations against chess playing robots.
Right.
And over in Russia, you're weak.
Yeah. You know, this boy is ranked as one of the top 30 chess players under 9 years old in Moscow. So this is an important guy.
Yeah. I don't like the thought of robots being smart enough to play chess, and now they can do physical damage.
The robot grabbed his hand and broke his finger.
Wow,
it's crazy. Yeah. What a crazy story.
Yeah. Yeah. It gives me the creeps and it makes me think, it gives me Rocky. Is it Rocky 3 vibes?
Rocky 4.
Rocky 4. My bad.
Yes.
Rocky 3 was Clubber Lang.
Correct.
My bad. All right. Next topic, Dave.
So everybody's talking about this. I just had the first one of these the other day. The Save the Choco Taco.
Right.
From Klondike.
I am of the school that this is a publicity stunt.
Well, according to Klondike, they said this is not a publicity stunt and that they are going to do what they can to save the Choco Taco.
Right.
And
after all this backlash, now everyone wants a Choco Taco. We'll see if we can bring it back. Okay. Right.
And what's so funny about it is that after news broke of the tacos axing, as they say, Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, quipped to his more than 1 million Twitter followers that he was going to take drastic measures in order to keep the Choco Taco around. His tweet said, "Tomorrow I'm introducing legislation to invoke the Defense Protection Act mandate to continue manufacturing of the Choco Tacos. Please call your senator and demand a co-sponsor."
Finally, an elected official doing the business of the people, Dave.
Exactly.
I gotta burst everyone's bubble on the Choco Taco. It's the exact same thing as the drumstick, just in taco form. The drumstick is a cone. The Choco Taco is a drumstick in taco form.
Well, not only had I never seen one, I'd never tasted one. And then 2 days in a row, downstairs where we work, they had the Choco Taco
for
available.
$3.
For $3 in the ice cream chest.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, it was great.
Right.
I mean, do you
feel some sadness that...
I don't know if I necessarily feel some sadness because
I don't... You've walked this earth for 70 years without a Choco Taco.
I don't have the memories of getting it from the ice cream man, which is where apparently it originated.
I always got the baseball mitt with the gum.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying. Yeah. So, hopefully Klondike can keep the Choco Taco alive because it seems that there's a lot of people that are not happy with this decision to get rid of it.
This is the Disney effect, all right? Disney, I don't know if they do this anymore because of Disney Plus, but back when home video was the predominant medium, they would like release their movies on tape and then put them in the vault for like 20 years.
Right.
And then we're opening the vault and you only have so much time for no other reason than to create
pent up demand,
artificial pent up demand.
Correct.
So I'm not buying it. I can't eat Choco Taco anyway, because my tummy can't, it's weak like that child who got his finger broken by the robot. It can't digest dairy. But I'll be happy for you, Dave, because
you've had
two Choco Tacos in 2 days, and it's...
I want to get some more.
You're on borrowed time.
I know.
All right, next topic.
This I know, and I know I always say this, but this I know will hit home to you.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that your favorite holiday is involved, and Hershey's have said that it will not be able to meet Halloween demand this year.
Wow. Wow, that's very sad.
I know, because Halloween is like your favorite time of the year.
Yeah, although I can't eat the Hershey's.
It says that they will not be able to fully meet customer demand for the October holiday after their second quarter results came out for their company.
Yeah. So what, are they short-staffed? Are they pulling a grift on us? What?
Consumers are demanding more regular and Halloween-themed candy than Hershey can make, at least for right now. So it sounds like it's a supply issue.
So it sounds like we're getting fatter. Because because all of a sudden people want more chocolate than Hershey can make. What changed between this year and every year that Hershey's been in business?
It says that because of the pandemic and during they're having ongoing supply chain issues.
Oh,
so
okay.
They just can't get
the
stuff.
That damn supply chain.
They've had to reduce production of the less popular items, or as in the case of the Choco Taco, which was mentioned also in this story. Cut them all together.
Yeah. Could you imagine if someone gave out Choco Taco on Halloween night? By the time it got home, it was just a melty mess.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, kids. Guess you're getting pennies.
I guess you can blame the pandemic, because during the pandemic, the interest in Halloween and sweets just got stronger.
Yeah. So, right. Because we're stressed board eating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to do their best they can, but this likely means...
sorry, kids.
M&M's, Snickers, Skittles, Brock's, first of all, that is
Brock.
It's the candy corn.
Oh,
horrible candy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, horrible.
You know, Dave, that is, I would say candy corn is probably one of the most divisive.
Oh, yes.
You know what are terrible, though? I think we can all agree that those little caramel candies that come in the black and orange wrapper are the absolute worst. Like, you would get those in your, maybe a little closer to Halloween, we'll do power rankings of the most disappointing things you get.
Oh, for sure.
You get those little caramel candies that come in the black and orange wrapper.
Right.
Pennies were always a bummer.
Right.
A lot of people say they hated potato chips. I liked getting potato chips because I would it would help me carbo load in the middle. I'm getting a little peckish going. Right. And so I'm gifted these potato chips. And kids like potato chips unless they come in your Halloween basket.
One of the other problems, according to the story, is higher dairy prices and scarce ingredients, and that has largely related to the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, that makes sense. The world's going to hell, and the children are paying the price for
it. So, I mean, if you're going to affect Michael's favorite holiday, which is Halloween,
well,
he's not going to be happy about it.
Look, as long as I can turn on AMC and see Michael Myers any time of the day in October, as long as the haunted hayrides are still open.
Oh, yeah.
I'm past the candy accumulation.
Yeah, you're a big fan of the haunted hayrides, aren't you?
So,
and the haunted houses and all that fun stuff.
So sucks to be the kids, Dave.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'll be okay.
Does that mean we're going to get more like popcorn balls and more bags of chips?
Have a toothbrush, kids.
You know, what are they? I guess one of the other things we might want to cover is not only the hierarchy of candy, but what's going to go in place of the candy if they can't keep up with the demand? What are we going to get to see? What new things, you know, we're going to get like Matchbox cars. It's going to be like, what are they going to give?
You're going to get like a coupon of 35% off Shake and Bake, whatever is around the house. I don't know.
Like, what's Michael putting out on his door for the kids?
I mean, there'll be other things. Laffy Taffy, I guess.
You know, now or later.
Dave, guess what? And we got to get out of here. But since we brought it up, the first year my wife and I had a house, we went out and bought a whole bunch of full size candy bars because I'm like, you know, growing up, I was like, the people giving out full size and king size candy bars are the absolute coolest. That's who I want to be when I grow up. And we also realized, oh, maybe we didn't buy enough. So we also went and bought some Laffy Taffy to supplement. And, you know, we put the bowl in front of the kids and we said, go ahead and take your choice of a couple. The Laffy Taffy went much faster than the full size candy bars. And this was like good stuff. This was Hershey's. This was Twix. Kit Kats, peanut butter cups, like the good stuff, and the kids like the Laffy Taffy. So, who's to say?
You know what? Whatever.
Very good. We didn't have time to get to this today, so maybe next week when Rich is back, I revealed something very shocking about you in the last episode about how dogs seem to be underwhelmed by your presence, and we found out the origin story as to why this week. Maybe we'll get to that next week.
Yeah, we'll need some more time.
Yeah, but for the time being, thanks for bearing with us. Hopefully our Richard will be back next week.
Get well, Rich.
And thanks for listening. Bye.